Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you. For tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in. Hope you're having a great day. Happy Thursday to you. Well, let me set up today's show for you. Ready? This show is for women because God wants us to better understand the heart of men, and it's for men because God wants you to know that He sees you, He loves you, He's proud of you, He wants to heal your soul, make you whole. He has more for you. So you see, it's for everybody today. I'm really glad you tuned in. An old friend, Thomas Mills, joins me in studio today to talk about his amazing, I love this book. It's titled Rubble to Redemption, Experiencing the Fathering of God Through the Brothering of Men. We're going to get him on in just a moment. A couple quick announcements. You've been hearing about this, and you're going to hear about it off and on for the next few months because we're so excited about it. We are hosting an epic A-level Writers Conference, and it's one day only, Saturday, July 15th. It's $150 for the full day. That is very, very a competitive pricing, let me put it that way, to meet with A-level faculty like editors, agents, experts in the field. Liz Curtis Higgs is our keynote speaker. We're going to have amazing worship, an opportunity for face-to-face meetings with the faculty member of your choice. If you make it in the first 350 registrants, that's why we're talking about it now. If you've got a dream to be published, if you're even just wondering, is writing something, it's just not going away from me. I think it's something I want to try, but I'm afraid. Don't let fear stand in the way. Come and check it out. You will know by the end of the conference, either, you know, this isn't for me, or I can't not do this. I have to do this. So check it out. The website is Northwestern Christian Writers Conference. com. And I want to just say we're celebrating our friends who give and have been faithful to sow into this ministry. We're a listener-supported ministry. We are growing by leaps and bounds because of your growth, because of God's faithfulness. So we just want to say a shout-out to some of our friends listening in some of our new markets. If you're listening in on 1290 AM in Hartford or 94.1 FM in West Hartford, Connecticut, we love you. We're so glad to be part of your community, glad to have you part of the family. Also to our friends listening in on our new signal in Waterloo, 93.1 FM, or in Madison, 104.7 in Madison, and 90.7 FM here in the Twin Cities, and as always, streaming online. Well, my guest today writes this: buried beneath the rubble is a man who feels disconnected from God and doesn't know why, who's terrified of being vulnerable for fear of looking weak, who depends on his job for his sense of identity and worth, who resorts to passivity to avoid conflict with his wife, who struggles with addiction to numb his loneliness, who isolates himself from others, who is resigned to living life in survival mode. If that's you, I pray you can listen to the full show today because we have got a show for you. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Thomas Paul Mills is an author, therapist, and speaker. Licensed by the state of Minnesota as a psychologist, Tom has been providing therapy for individuals, couples, and families for over 20 years. He's appeared on radio and TV programs discussing various topics regarding mental health issues. Some of his other passions include running, biking, traveling. What's not in his bio is he's got killer vocals and used to sing in the group Three Soul Cry, if you've ever heard him. He's an amazing vocalist. Tom and his wife, Wendy, make their home in Twin Cities. Tom, good to have you on the show.
Good to be here. I just laugh because I'm like, oh, I'm so glad I don't have to sing.
Well, I forgot to tell you. I'm going to ask you to break out in song every once in a while. No?
Okay. I think we'll pass on that.
All right. We're going to get your buddy Ralph on here in just a moment. But we love to start every conversation talking scripture. And the passage you chose was Isaiah 58, 11 to 12. And I'll just read it and have you speak to it if that's okay. This is such a fantastic passage. You'll be like a well-watered garden, a gurgling spring that never runs dry. You'll use the old rubble of past lives to build anew, rebuild the foundations out of your past. You'll be known as those who can fix anything, restore old ruins, rebuild and renovate, make the community livable again. Fantastic. Why'd you pick that passage?
You know, I grew up in a dysfunctional family. I had a father who was an alcoholic. My mom suffered from depression, and I was the rescuer of the family. I thought it was my job to fix and to help. And I came away from that experience in my childhood pretty isolated because, you know, my parents just weren't there to help me because they were just so caught up in their dysfunction. And I ended up going, ironically, into the profession of being a helper and spending a lot of years helping other people, but not necessarily letting anyone help me. And eventually, it got to the point where I was just living life myself in survival mode, and I needed a rescue, but I didn't even know it. And through the course of events, which I can get into more in the show, God brought me a rescue. And he is so faithful.
He's so faithful. Yeah. It's amazing because you had a heart's cry, even if you couldn't fully articulate it. Your wife had a heart cry for, mm-hmm. for your marriage and for the man she loves. And it kind of came in the form of, it was going to be, she called it boot camp. You said correction, base camp, I think, if I remember that right. Mm-hmm. And you didn't want to go because it would be like every other man's retreat. But she kind of gave you the holy shove. Take it from there.
Well, it was a Saturday morning. I remember it was released. A beautiful sunshiny morning, and we were sitting there talking about this retreat, and she was saying, you got to go, and I was coming up with all these excuses, and finally she just said, I just don't understand why you can't just give it a shot. And I said, okay, I'll go. But I think the reason why I was so reluctant was I had built this wall around my heart for so many years, and I didn't want to be disappointed again and find that there really wasn't anybody there for me as far as having men in my life and having friends. I think I had just kind of resigned to the fact that I would have my marriage, which was a good marriage at the time, but I was just like, again, living in survival mode. And I sort of went to Colorado for this retreat in protest. But my wife was so persistent. I really have to give her a lot of the credit.
Yeah, you know. Here's to snarky women everywhere, just saying, way to go, Wendy. So the retreat that you went to was hosted by Gary Barklow. We've had him on the show plenty of times, and we got to get him back. It's been a long time. And so you go kind of in protest, but okay, I'm going to go. Ralph, we're going to get you on here in just a moment. So when did you first sense that this was going to be something different than what you'd expected?
I was sitting at a dining room table having a meal with a few of the guys, and one turned to me. I'll never forget this. It was just out of the blue, and I was expecting him to say, "What do you do for a living? You know, tell me more about yourself." And he said, "Do you ever get lonely?" And I just was completely blindsided by that. You know, I think I went to this gathering thinking, you know, I'm just going to do what I need to do, get this over with, go home and basically say to my wife, you know what? I told you so. And I had no idea that God had other plans. And so it was that moment that it caught my attention. And it was as if God was saying, I've got a different plan here.
Well, and it starts with gut level honesty.
Right.
So this guy blindsided you. Did you answer honestly?
You know, at first I kind of hemmed and hawed and I say, yeah, and then I thought to myself, oh, what the heck? You know, I'm probably never going to see these guys again.
Yeah.
So I said, yeah, sometimes I do get a little lonely. And we went from there. We ended up having like an hour and a half conversation. And
okay.
It was incredible.
Wow. So Ralph, then, this buddy that he's on the phone here, we're going to get him on in just a second. He wrote the foreword to this book. And the reason that we're setting it up this way is because these two have become brothers. They're like a band of brothers, and God's really shown them healing just through the brothering. In fact, the subtitle of the book is Experiencing the Fathering of God Through the Brothering of Men. I love that. So how did you first meet Ralph, and what was the first instinct and impact that you had?
Well, I had gone rappelling during the weekend, and that in and of itself just sort of opened me up because, you know, when you're jumping off a cliff 150 feet up in the air, it has this effect on you of actually increasing your vulnerability, and you just have to be vulnerable to do that and willing to do that. And so there was a session right afterward. We were all gathering, and I had taken the chance, the risk of opening up myself to the guys, and I talked about this whole thing of never letting anyone help me, being this helper, going through all these years of being a psychologist and and walking alongside other people in their journey and not letting anyone walk alongside of me, really, keeping everybody at arm's length, including my wife and God. And so that finished up. It was very emotional for me. I felt very exposed. And it was time for supper. We came to the dining hall, and I remember they were serving spaghetti. And I stood there with plate and fork in hand, ready to sit down. And this gentleman came up from behind and tapped on my shoulder and said, "Hey, I'm Ralph. I really appreciated what you said earlier. And I'd like to talk for a second. Can we sit down and talk?" And I thought, well, okay, it's kind of out in the open here, but, you know, everybody's walking around. You know, that was kind of the whole weekend. It was just very, very open. And so I sat down with Ralph, and I'll never forget this. And this sort of encapsulates the conversation. He said, "Tom, can I join you on your journey?" And again, it was one of those moments where I kind of thought to myself, is this really happening to me? And, you know, a part of me thought, well, maybe he's just kind of giving me some encouragement. Maybe he's saying, you know, can I pray for you? But no, he really meant that. And he's been a dear friend since.
Okay, we're going to pause here. When we come back, we're going to bring Ralph on. But what stands out to me is those first two points of contact. One was asking for gut-level honesty. Two was God's pursuit of you and offering help, and are you willing to receive it? And I know you address some of these issues in the book. We're going to hear from Ralph, Tom's good buddy, but I want to have you email in if you want in the drawing. Rubble to Redemption, Experiencing the Fathering of God Through the Brothering of Men. At the end of each chapter, boy, Tom, I ask some amazing, thought-provoking questions. This is not light reading. This will mess with you. But if you're ready to be messed with, if you want some healing in your soul, I want you to email to get in on the drawing. Susie with an S, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address. And we'll open the phone lines a little bit later, but I want to hear from Ralph first. Back in a minute. Tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Honored to be talking to Thomas Mills. Have him in studio. He's the author of the book Rubble to Redemption, Experiencing the Fathering of God Through the Brothering of Men. And in the beginning of the show, Tom talked about just growing up in a dysfunctional alcoholic home, having all these buried hurts, going into the healthcare profession as far as, you know, counseling people, your psychologist, saying you're helping everybody but yourself, and coming to a point where you really realize I need some of my own healing. You go to a Gary Barkalow base camp experience, still kind of in protest, but your wife encouraged you to go, and you encounter men who want to know you, who want to hear your story. Well, Ralph, we've got him on the line. He actually asked if he could join you on your journey, and that was the beginning of an amazing friendship. Do you want to say anything about Ralph before we get him on the line?
Well, I love Ralph. He's such a man that cares about people. Just the other day, we were talking on the phone, and he was talking about a blues traveler that he saw on the highway. He drives a lot of the week. He has a job where it involves a lot of driving, and he just shared just off the side note of, oh, by the way, yeah, there's this guy, and I just brought him a cup of coffee and a sausage egg McMuffin. And it wasn't a big deal for Ralph, but it just made me smile because that's the kind of man he is. He thinks about someone who's outcast, thinks about the lonely, the people that have been through so much, and he certainly has been so instrumental in my life and my healing process.
Everybody should have a friend named Ralph anyway. Mm-hmm. Ralph, so good to meet you. How are
nice
you?
Nice to be here, Susie.
Glad to have you, and I know you're driving right now. We're so honored to have you. What heart did you go to this base camp, and what were you looking for? Did you have reservations, or were you just ready to dive in?
Now, Susie, actually, I had been trying to get to base camp for quite so many years. I know Gary very well and have helped with, you know, numerous calling retreats that he's done. We've done three here in Mississippi and helped with some in Atlanta. And I just had planned to get to base camp for years and just never could make it happen. And a good friend, also of Tom's as well, David Morris, and Scotty Richardson encouraged me to go to base camp this year. I had been through some pretty tough times over the last couple of years through some business deals, and just was not in a real great spot. So I needed to go to base camp, and I really went to base camp for me. And I recall just like it was this morning, the first night when Tom shared. Gary got through with his presentation. Tom was the first man to just open up, and his he was very open and honest and transparent, and it just really caught my attention. And I said, here's a man, or God kind of tapped me on the shoulder, as he does so many times, and said, you need to reach out to this man. Not knowing at the time, Susie, I thought I was reaching out to Tom, and just as important, if not more important, through our relationship, Tom has helped me tremendously. So I've had a lot of rubble in my lives over the years that God has helped me overcome through brothers like Tom, and this title, Experiencing the Fathering of God Through the Brethren of Men, just has such deep meaning to me. I think that's how God intends us to live.
Indeed.
And so many men just do not get to experience that.
I so agree, and I thank you so much, Ralph, for sharing that story. So since that time, you guys have continued, Tom, to do life together. What's been the fruit of that friendship for you?
Well, one obvious... go ahead. Go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, we Tom and I talk every week, and Tom's actually flew down to Mississippi one weekend, and we did a little small gathering with some of the guys down here. And, you know, through this whole process, I have gotten my passion back for the men's ministry that I have been involved in so many years. The relationship with my wife is better than it has been in years. Not that we ever had a bad relationship, but it has just brought us such a more closer relationship through just this whole process.
Fantastic. You write in the book, for most of my adult life, I received my own toxic counsel. Though it came in numerous forms and from a variety of sources, the message remained the same. You're on your own. You must rely on yourself for your strength. Tom, I love that you admitted that. How prevalent is that among men, would you say?
Oh, I think it's probably true for most men. You know, I think we're socialized by our culture to be independent, and there's nothing wrong with independence, but I think sometimes we take it to the extreme. We feel like we have to take care of ourselves. We can't rely on anybody because we're so afraid of the dreaded W word, you know, weakness. I don't want to be, or I don't want to look weak. So because of that, then we really don't receive God's strength, because he says in his word, as we know, you know, when we are weak, he is strong. Even that, I think of that song, Jesus Loves Me, you know, they are weak, but he is strong. And so, you know, we have to come back to a place of being willing to be vulnerable and being willing to say, I'm weak now. And let God father us in that place with those that come to us. As he comes through those men, we can be strengthened.
Boy, that's so good. Ralph, one more question before we let you drive on into the sunset. Would you say independence is the most common cause for men isolating, or maybe that's the secondary cause? Is it often fear, self-preservation? What are your thoughts as to why men don't want to appear weak, don't let each other in? Because you're missing out on so much, and that's the case you're both making here. But what do you think is the primary cause? Is there one?
Well, I know the primary cause for me, Susie, was that my dad, who was a great man, taught me to be just very, very independent and not depend on anybody for anything and make my own way in life. There's some good in that, I guess, but just learning to reach out to others, it tells us in James 5:16, confess your sins one to another so you may be whole and healed. And I just think that is something that men are not used to doing, of sharing their problems and their brokenness and things that are going on in their lives. But once they do experience that, there's such a great healing that takes place.
Indeed. Well, I can't thank you enough for just responding to the nudge of the Spirit and reaching out to this friend of yours. And just see his eyes light up when he talks about what God has done in the past months. You've been a significant part of that, Ralph. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Amen to that.
Well, thank you, Susie. Tom, good to be with you. I'm sorry I'm not there with you. I will have to tell you it's 78 degrees here today.
Stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Nice to meet you, Ralph. We're okay. We were a little bit jealous.
Nice to meet you. Y'all have a great day.
Bless you. It's so interesting. You said that Wendy and I used to argue about our lack of time together. She would contend that we weren't connecting. I would argue we spent plenty of time together. I failed to realize she wasn't really disputing a lack of time, but rather a lack of heart. I was having an affair with isolation, and it was killing my marriage. I mean, I read the initial manuscript before this went to publication, and I read like I'd read it for the first time. Like, it gripped me, because I feel like there are women listening going, yes, and there's men listening going, you got me. Mm-hmm. So an affair with isolation, again, this is so, so common. What is that? I mean, is it fear? What is that, Tom? Help us understand that.
Well, I know for me that I wanted to be vulnerable, and I wanted to share my heart, but I wasn't able to connect with my heart because it was so walled up. I had built this barrier, and I didn't really connect with anybody, and that included, unfortunately, my wife. And she was trying to reach out to me. She was trying to get through, and she couldn't. And sometimes we need to have an experience with God in a way that transforms us to take us to a place where we can bring those walls down. And I think for a lot of men, sometimes that means they're going to have to be vulnerable with the brothers in their life. And they need to find that vehicle so that they can, like, you know, Ralph talked about his marriage. You know, the brothering of men and God's fathering through that has made a huge difference in my marriage. And it's just so interesting how God has used this as a vehicle for his fathering. It's amazing.
Boy, that is an interesting point, because you think about men isolating and pulling back. It's not a static thing. I mean, it does impact these other parts of your life. And even more so, it doesn't just hold steady. It's like a parasite, right? Where I feel like on our side as women, we tend to do the opposite. We latch on to our husbands and put our hope in our husbands when our hope needs to be in God. So you can see how our neediness chases you into isolation, leaving us both brokenhearted. Mm. And we've got things to work up. Maybe that's your next book. You know, you write about to the women. But really learning to put our hope in the Lord so that we've got to take a break here. When we come back, I want you to piggyback on that, because as you tackled this issue of isolation and you started to open up and you started to get healing through the brothering of other men, the impact not only on your marriage, Tom, but this book came out of nowhere. I mean, and I call him Tom because we go way back, but it's Thomas to you. Okay. So if you want in on the drawing of Thomas's book, email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Hear this title again. It's fantastic. Rebel to Redemption, Experiencing the Father of God Through the Brothering of Men. More with Tom Mills when we return.
In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor. When my sails are torn, your love surrounds me. In the eye of the storm.
Really glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Have my friend Thomas Paul Mills in studio. He's a licensed psychologist and author. His book is titled Rubble to Redemption, Experiencing the Fathering of God Through the Brothering of Men. This book is for men, but it's for women too. I'm telling you, it'll minister to your heart. We as women need to know and understand the heart of a man. And men, I feel like you get such a bad rap in our society. And you just need to know that the Father loves you. He wants to heal you. He's got guys that he wants to put in your life to walk shoulder to shoulder with you and to band together and be with you in this journey. And as Tom, you were saying before the break, how through the brothering of men, Ralph, your buddy, who we just had on, and others, where you've learned to be vulnerable, you've learned to admit, even though you're a psychologist and helping people all day long, you learn to admit, I feel weak today. I am afraid today, which all of us are at that point at some point or other. But by letting other men in, something amazing happened. It actually has brought some healing and some life to your marriage. It also brought creativity to you, where suddenly there was this divine download of content that you didn't see coming, which turned into this amazing book. That's just a little bit of fruit of what happens when our souls are healed. But what, for that person listening today going, why can't that just happen in my prayer time? Why do I have to be known? I've tried it. I've been betrayed. I don't trust people. Why is this, is the brothering of men so essential to my own healing process?
Susie, when I was at that retreat, and I was experiencing that strong handshake or the eye contact or the hugs or the spoken word, it was God coming through that man. It was God coming through the strength of that handshake and the compassion of those eyes and the listening ears. It was God coming through the affectionate hug. And it was God bringing me his encouragement as he spoke through that man to me. God wants to, he wants to come to us in a number of ways, and he can do it in our quiet time. He can do it when we're just, you know, spending time alone. But he wants us to take the risk, I believe, in being vulnerable. And that really only happens a lot in relationship. And so there's this element of risk that he's calling us into, this adventure of vulnerability, so to speak, and he wants to meet us there and bring us his fathering in an amazing way.
And I think attending events like this where you have like-minded travelers where they're all looking for that, I think in everyday life, everybody gets so busy. If they do connect, it's sometimes on such a shallow level, you know? I mean, there's jokes about, you know, a husband meeting with another friend and their family's going through everything and he comes home and the wife says, how is he? I don't know. We just golfed together. We didn't really talk about anything. And I think when you look on the flip side of guys that are in the foxhole together, the military, they're vulnerable. There's moments of weakness and they become lifelong friends because it's so essential. I thought it was so interesting. At the end of each chapter, you ask, not light reading. These are not light questions, and I love that. But this really compels you to dare to take off the mask, to dig a little deeper. So here's some questions off of one of the chapters. What were your friendships like as a kid? Do you even ever remember feeling alone or lonely? How well did your father maintain connection with others? What qualities make a good friend? How often do you spend time with others presently? How do you spend time together? What if anything is missing? How does isolation impact your marriage or significant other? How does isolation impact your relationship with God? So, Tom, I want you to think about the person listening today, the guy who's where you were, just shut down. I mean, from the outside looking in, he's a functional guy. He goes to work every day, takes care, pays the bills. He's there for his family. But he's just barely scratching the surface of what God has for him. What word of hope and encouragement do you have?
Well, I want to say that, you know, I was an isolated man. I thought I was connected. I thought, you know, I was in contact with others. But I think isolation doesn't really speak about are you in proximity or physical contact or having just normal conversations. Isolation speaks more about the heart. So I guess I would encourage men to ask themselves a question: are you sharing your heart with someone? Are you letting yourself be known? And this speaks of the word intimacy. You know, intimacy and isolation are antithetical. And I think we live sort of unintimate lives, and we've lost that whole art of connection with each other. And of course, it plays a role in our dysfunctional marriages.
So you could really be out in the world in the marketplace. You can run a company of 1,000 people or have 1,000 coworkers, and still you could serve at church and still be in isolation, couldn't you?
Right, exactly. And I think, and look at me. I I'm out there. I'm helping others. I can't tell you how many times I sat there across the room from a patient and said, you know, let's see if we can get you connected with some others in your circles, in your community. And yet, in my life, you know, I wasn't doing that. I wasn't practicing what I was preaching. And I wonder now, looking back, if people were looking into my eyes and wondering, perhaps, you know, maybe on some subconscious level, do you really do it yourself? Is this really possible? Is friendship a reality for us? I think that's a really good question.
It really is. So you talked about the isolated man. We've touched on that one. The fatherless man. I'm wondering if you've got a word of encouragement for that man listening today who has a father wound so deep he doesn't even know where to start.
Well, I want to say there's hope. There's so much hope for us. And, you know, just to piggyback on the isolated man, you know, sometimes people ask me, you know, what do I do? Where do I find these people to connect with, and who are my brothers? And I want to say, just like as we talk about fatherlessness, we need to stop and pray and come back to God and say, God, it's only because of you, and it's only going to happen through you. And I want to submit to you and let you father me. I think that's the first step here. This is more than, we're not just talking really, Susie, about friendship per se. I mean, that's really important and it's valuable, but we need to bring God into that picture, because this is about God's fathering us. And in that, God opens up a whole nother world, and it goes beyond just friendship. It goes into a place of really understanding that God is here and he's connecting with us and he's bringing his fathering. I use the word fatherlessness, and that's one of the rubble chapters. And I think, you know, we as Christians sometimes assume that all is good, all is well with our relationship with God. But if you ask somebody, and I've had so many patients tell me this, I don't really connect with God the Father because I had a hard time with my dad. When I think of God as Father, he just seems so distant. He seems angry. Mm. And so I think it's hard sometimes for us to connect with that word. And in the prayers that we have in the book that help us to enter into that intimate conversation, I actually use other words like Papa and Dad and Daddy. And this is, for some, might be kind of uncomfortable. I know it was for me the first time I sat down and I said, Dad. And I thought to myself, what am I doing? This is so strange to call God Dad. Is he really my dad? But this is that beginning step to move into the fathered journey.
I love that you made the point, because it's experiencing the fathering of God through the brothering of men. Because you can have a band of brothers and you're all close, but the fruit that comes out of that might be toxic, actually. These brothers might be pulling you away from all that's right and true. The purpose is that these brothers reflect the heart of God.
Absolutely.
And then you start to have healing in your soul. And so not only do you ask thought-provoking questions at the end of each chapter, but you have this fathering prayer, and even a son's prayer. Would you mind just maybe reading an example for us?
Well, this is something that I wrestled with, because I really didn't know how this was going to come across. And I remember times in prayer with Father and with Dad, with God, saying, do you really want me to write these out? And I use scripture as a reference. And I just thought, you know, people are they going to connect with this? Is this going to be too vulnerable? And I just felt so led as I wrote this book to go this direction, because I have had, again, so many men tell me, you know, I just don't know how to talk to God. So here's an example of what God might be saying. And then here is a response from the son. My son, I've watched you struggle so much. I have been trying to rescue you for so long. Many times I called out to you, but you did not hear my voice. Many times I reached out to you, son, but you did not take my hand. This grieved me so. Reach out now and be vulnerable with me. Let me pull you from the wreckage. Let me free you from the rubble in your life. It's my desire to rescue all men. You are worth all the suffering that my son went through to rescue you. I will put brothers on your path to walk alongside of you. Please don't turn them away, for they are an extension of my hand reaching out to you. I love you, son. Dad.
Beautiful. I'm going to read one as well. This is one of the fathering prayers, and then maybe you can read a son's prayer back to the father.
Sure.
My son, I've watched you try to do life on your own and in your own strength. I'm going to pause here, because somebody listening, this is for you. I believe this is for you from God's heart himself. And wherever you're at, I pray that you'd open your heart and listen. My son, I've watched you try to do life on your own and in your own strength. Son, let me father you and give you what you need. I'll take you out of your suffering. Trust me, son. I know that over the years, your heart's been hurt. I have heard the bitter words in your heart towards those who've hurt you. Bitterness, judgment, and resentment have robbed you of my fathering. Remember, I cannot forgive your sin if you're not willing to forgive another. Bring these hurts and injustices to me. Let me come into your struggle, whatever it may be, and I will father you. Allow me to lead you on your journey. Let's ride together on the greatest adventure ever known. I love you with all my heart, my son, Dad.
And the son's prayer reads, Father, I'm unsure how to pray. Please show me. Show me how to do this. I want to trust you, but I'm so used to relying on myself. I have essentially lived a fatherless life, not allowing you to father me in all that I do. Please forgive me, Dad. Please reveal what I have harbored in my heart towards you, others, and myself even, that would rob me of your presence, like bitterness, judgments, resentment, hatred. Please grant me the courage to confess these things and ask for forgiveness as I become more aware of them. I realize this is a process. Thank you for calling me your son. I accept the work Jesus did on the cross for me, so I can come to you now and call you Father, so I can call you Dad. I want to gain a deeper understanding of what it means to be your son, Dad. I want to ride with you on this great adventure. Mm. I love you.
Amen. So I'm just praying this for you listening today, that you can picture yourself a year from now, that in the days and the months to come, that you go after healing the way Tom went after healing, God went after him, but you listened, you responded, that you'd be willing to respond to the work of God in your life to the point where it starts to impact your marriage. It starts to impact your creativity, where once you've just had kind of drudgery, then passion emerges. Can you imagine it? This is what God has for you. There's fruit in the abundant life. There's fruit in that abiding life, healing, wholeness, creativity, all kinds of great stuff. That's what it means to walk in that abundance. Talking to Thomas Mills, title of his book, Rubble to Redemption, Experiencing the Fathering of God Through the Brothering of Men. Email me if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address. I say it every day, and people still email me without a mailing address. We'll be back in a minute. Song. You know, God is so merciful, so gracious to us with our highs and our lows, our ups and our downs. He's with us, and his mercies are new every morning. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Thomas Mills. I have him in studio today. Title of his book, Rubble to Redemption, Experiencing the Fathering of God Through the Brothering of Men. And at the open of the show, Tom, you talked about how just you're a therapist and you're counseling other patients, clients, and yet you're feeling so shut down yourself because just not wanting to be weak and vulnerable. Long story short, through the prodding of your wife, you go to this base camp experience, retreat experience, and God just opens your heart. He'd been pursuing you all along, but he connects you with the right people. And you start to realize a healing that needs to happen. You come home, and we're going to kind of catch listeners up to where he's at now. But his book, Rubble to Redemption, it's divided into three sections, the rubble. And he addresses the isolated man, the fatherless man, the shame-filled man, two that we didn't get to that maybe someday you'll come back and we'll talk about, the addicted man and the passive man, because these are all like parasitic forces that just rob men blind. And then we didn't get to this, but the rescue, and that's the willing, the vulnerable, the rescued man. But I want to jump ahead with our last segment here, the redemption, the redeemed man, reawakening passion. Talk about how you got here and what how that can translate for the man who's just not there yet.
Absolutely. You know, when God invites us into the father journey, when we move into a real intimate father and son relationship, he awakens our hearts. He awakens our passion. He brings us to a place of living life with passion. And that was what happened to me. I had come back home from this experience out in Colorado, and I just started writing. And it's not like I came home and said, oh, gee, I think I should become an author. I wasn't even planning on writing a book when I started to write. I just started writing. And I remember one time I was in the kitchen and it was 3 a.m. and my wife comes down and she says, "What are you doing?" And I said, I don't know. I just can't stop writing. And after a few weeks of that, I started looking at all this going, maybe this is a book. And, you know, that's how it came about for me. That's what happened. That's what came out of me as a result of this. But, you know, who knows what will come out of you and any man or woman as they experience the intimacy with God in this way.
Boy, that is so true. I'd love for you to paint a picture, if you could have your dream come true, of men reading this, what would happen in the hearts of men and subsequently women. If you were to cast a vision, the sky's the limit, and men got a hold of this, how would it change sort of the landscape for us?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things we talk about in the book is this progression or this journey from passivity to passion and courage. And I think a lot of times we get lulled into resignation and survival, and we just become so passive in this life, and we just don't live the life we were meant to live. And my hope is that when people read this book, as they connect with God in this very intimate way, and as they again embark on this, the Father journey, that they become just emboldened to live life passionately in their marriage, passionately in their fathering of their own children, passionately as they move into relationships with others and brothers, passionately as they move into perhaps even new careers and ministry, that we see men coming alive and moving out of passivity.
Boy, and that passivity thing, you know, I want to do a whole show on it someday, just because I think sometimes it passes for meekness and humility, but they're opposite, from opposite sources. And Tom, as I travel around and speak with women, I hear often again that a woman will say, "My husband hates his job. He's miserable. And we're miserable because he's miserable. But we tell him, do something different. You know, we'll downsize, whatever. Find your passion." I mean, from a woman's perspective, we want our men healed and whole and activated. And yet there are times when the heart gets so hard that self-pity sets in. For that guy listening today, we're not condemning, we're not bringing shame by any means. This is about invitation. But what would be first steps if he's thinking, "You got me, I'm kind of bitter, I'm in my, whatever, 40s, 50s, it's too late for me, and I'm already committed to the mortgage, it's too late." Is it too late?
No, absolutely not. And this is not about trying harder. This is not about, you know, pulling up your bootstraps and just, you know, changing behavior. This is about moving into a place of humility and willingness, and first and foremost, coming to Papa, coming to God and saying, I need a reset. I need to be recalibrated, as Gary Barkalow talks about in his book, It's Your Call. I need to have a reset with you, Father, because I want to join you on this journey. I want you to join me on this journey, and I need to investigate this whole landscape of understanding who I am and my identity as a son. And so this is about God doing the work in our lives. God wants to come to that man who might be feeling really discouraged right now and saying, I don't have the energy. I just can't make it happen. And the good news is we don't have to make anything happen. We just need to be willing and vulnerable.
Boy, it's so good. You know, also something that happens when soul healing takes place in us is we go from guarding against potential threats to being a wellspring of life to those who could otherwise hurt us. You know what I mean? As women, it looks like this, where we go in a room and we're sizing women up, wondering who's going to, you know, in the hierarchy scheme of things, going to come out on top or to be prettier or whatever posture. But once you get apprehended by God, you're suddenly looking for who needs a friend, who you can minister to. And I think the same is true for men, that once you're apprehended, instead of being on guard and trying to prove in posture, you're just able to be kind and humble because they don't have the power that they used to. Would that be true?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's such a powerful thing when we just take time to tell someone our story. And we don't have to embellish it. We don't have to dress it up. We just need to be honest about this is where I've been. And to have other men come alongside us and bring us God's fathering in that way, it's so powerful that it leads us down that path and it takes us to a new place if we're just willing.
If you were to speak to men's ministry directors across the nation. I mean, some are doing off the charts jobs, you know, engaging their men in services around the community and then getting them together to go rock climbing, whatever. Some are doing an amazing job. Others are just not sure what they're doing. But what would be a core component that needs to be present in men's ministry for them to have an opportunity at their local church to meet other brothers and experiencing the fathering of God?
Well, I think there needs to be, I've used this word already today, but there needs to be a humbling. I think sometimes as pastors or leaders, like I've been a leader as a psychologist, we feel like, you know, we have to portray this image. And I think, you know, as we humble ourselves, as we come forward and say, I need help too, I think pastors need to come forward and say, I want to join with all of you. We're all in this together. We need God's fathering. And as we come together, we can make strides in this area. I think that's the main component that I see is humility.
Yeah. Well, because once again, it's vulnerability, it's accessibility.
Exactly.
And not do as I say. I do as I do.
Yeah.
I'm going to lead the way.
Right.
One last question before we get ready to pray here. Your wife, Wendy, what would she say about that? He gets a big smile. What would she say about this process?
Well, I think she'd say that everything's perfect now.
Exactly.
And I'm an absolute dream. no, she probably wouldn't say that. But I think she might say that I'm not the same guy I used to be in terms of that guy that was sort of checked out and isolated and resigned. I think there's a sparkle in my eye now, and she sees that passion growing, and it's a process, you know, it ebbs and flows. But, you know, our marriage has, and I want to just say a quick note to women that this is so powerful for marriage that, you know, we need men and women to become more passionate, and we become more passionate for each other as we take this journey. And so, my wife has been such a blessing in my life, and I'm so, so grateful for her.
Why, so good. So as we get ready to pray here, I'm thinking of the guy who's right now where you were before you went on that retreat. He's functioning, but he's not thriving in his spirit, you know. Would you pray for that guy?
Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity we have to connect with you as Father, as someone we can call Dad. And I just pray for men wherever, men like myself who struggle and who are far from perfect, who are just wanting to be known but are afraid to be known, are afraid to be vulnerable. Father, I pray that you would make a road for them to make inroads so that they can connect with you in a vulnerable way and yet receive your fathering. And I pray for the supplying of brothers for these men, that they can experience your fathering in a powerful way, and that this would transform them in all areas of their lives.
In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Tom, I'm proud of you. Just so love to be part of this book. Thank you for coming in today.
Thanks for having me, Susie.
It's just a beautiful book. Title again is Rubble to Redemption, Experiencing the Fathering of God Through the Brothering of Men. I've got a couple copies for a drawing. Just email me if you want in the drawing. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Remember your mailing address, too. The cross before me, the world behind me, I will follow you. I will follow you. No turning. Thanks for tuning in today. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Coming up next, Stephen Arterburn joins me. It's kind of a similar theme. Title of his book, Take Your Life Back, How to Stop Letting the Past and Other People Control You. Another great hour is up ahead, so don't go away. Hour 2 is up next.